Welcome to Pop a la Carte episode 124 with Tatiana, Angela, and Camille. We're just going to jump right into it because it's going to be Asian Drama Corner. And here we go.
Yay! So excited.
I watched Unfamiliar Family. It's K-drama.
Oh, okay.
And it's pretty good. Well, so like the romance is really good. I'm really loving watching K-dramas mature when they do, because they don't all mature. But like the male lead is like the one, like the second male lead is the asshole. I'm like, what is this? This is beautiful. He is doing it like, and what they're building, like she's actually in a relationship ish.
Okay.
Casual, whatever situation mm-hmm. with him. And he's like her boss at work, and he's got this ex-girlfriend that won't, like, you know, go away. But then it turns out maybe that's because he was still sniffing after her. And I was like, this is all, like, stuff, like, 10 years ago or even 5 years ago we're expected to see as our primary romance. And then meanwhile, she's got, like, her just guy who's been her friend since they were in college, and they're back in each other's lives now. And, like, he is perfect and has never done anything wrong. And it's beautiful. And the sibling dynamics are great. It's also family dynamics. So it's called Unfamiliar Family because their parents are like going to have a divorce. Their mom keeps calling it a marriage graduation.
Oh, okay.
So, like, you've got three adult kids and she's done and she wants to divorce him. And but then he gets in an accident and is in amnesia and is 20 again, mentally. Like, it's the last thing he remembers was like them getting engaged, basically. And so he's really cute for a while, and they have like a lot of cute like flashbacks, but then like through the course of the drama they show how they got there. And so I progressively lost interest or sympathy with dad as it went on. And it turned out like the two big things that like they both lost faith in each other is that like she would, when she had, they have three kids, and when they had two of their three kids, she would get a lot of suspicious. The phone rings and she answers it, and then that person hangs up, and he's also suddenly gone a lot all the time, kind of a deal. But the reason he doesn't trust her is because of their daughter's eldest wedding. So their eldest daughter is not biologically his daughter. She was pregnant when they got together, and he knew that. He knew that going into it. He knew that it wasn't his daughter. Was totally fine with it. Proposed to her anyway. Like, proposed to her after she said she was pregnant. Like, all of that. At that daughter's wedding, he sees his wife talk to a man that he doesn't recognize for 5 minutes from across the room, and decides that that was the baby daddy and that she has been in touch with him this whole time, and never confronts her about it, and then is just progressively meaner to her for the next 5 years. And I'm like,
that's really weird.
You may open the dumpster and now climb in it and then shut the like, lid. And then when they finally talk about it, the reveal is it was literally nothing. She didn't even know who this person was. It was literally like a woman walked up to her and thought she recognized her from university. And she's like, no, I didn't go to that university. And she's like, okay. And then her husband comes up and he's like, sorry, my wife does this all the time. And then like trots after his wife. Like that literally, that was the interaction that this man like torpedoed his marriage over. And I'm like, and then, so there's like a death scare with dad at the very end of the drama, and all the characters are sad, and I was like, I'm not. Like, but the sibling dynamics are fantastic in this drama. Like, the three siblings are really, really great. And the other reason I love it is that the male lead has a sibling dynamic with the youngest, the Maknae. They even call him the Maknae. Like, has his own brother relationship with him. Because when he started hanging out at that family house with his actual friend his age, that kid was like 12. And so he just like grew up around him, and he was like, and so he will like hide the Maknae's secrets from like his sisters, because like he's basically like another sibling to him, and their sibling dynamics are really good. Like, they fight, but they care about each other. Like, it's and then the romance was perfect and adorable. Like, they were really good. It wasn't like huge. It's kind of understated. But I enjoyed it, and it was funny because for like the first five or so episodes, I was really enjoying dad's storyline, and then I was like,
went downhill.
And they like they kind of get back together, but like mom does leave to go like backpacking, inspired by, you know, Renee Zellweger's Wild movie, like literally, like she's inspired by it and goes around the world to backpack, and like But I was like, good for you. But then also it shows that she stays in contact with her husband and not her kids. So I was like, but he's trash. Like, throw him in the trash and stay in contact with your children. But it was cute. So that's a good K-drama.
I'm definitely planning on watching that one. My friend also watched it, and was like invested enough to constantly be updating me on it. And then in the end, I think she was satisfied with it too. So I'm definitely looking forward to that one. in like newer, actually, well, okay, this one's halfway through, but Alice is a K-drama that I was very invested in at the start, and I was really excited by, and now I'm very concerned about.
Oh,
So it's a time travel like parallel world story. So there's already going to be like, some timey-wimey just logic that doesn't make sense because it's a K-drama and also it's time travel. So two things that I don't know. I don't know. And it's not like one of those like I'm going to go back to the past and then I'm following someone in the past or I'm going to the future following someone from the future. No. It's literally like here are some, Einstein equations. Let's talk about Schrodinger's cat, but universes. So I'm like, okay. But the female lead and the male lead are mother and son, right? Except after the mother dies because of time travel reasons, she had him. She works for a time travel agency. She was pregnant with him and therefore did not go back to her time travel agency because they wanted her to abort the baby because you can't time travel while pregnant for reasons. Reasons. I don't know what these reasons are. So she stays in the past to have the baby. Okay. And then, like 20 years later, baby who has alexithymia, because why wouldn't he? Everyone must have problems with their emotions. This time, because of time travel, she is killed by someone in the time travel agency. And then, when he grows up even further, 10 years after that, he now sees his mother, but his mother from the past, right? Unless she's his mother from an alternate universe, because maybe they're in a parallel universe, since she's older than his mother would have been when she had him. But she's still his mom, okay? It's the same actress, the same DNA. She's definitely his mom. It's not just a random woman who has his mom's face. She has his mom's name, everything else about whatever. When baby daddy sees her, because baby daddy also works for time travel agency and was lied to about what happened to her, he just thought she left him and then, to have the baby. And he was told that the baby died and that she remarried and is living in the country or something. But instead, the baby is alive and she is raising him in the city and was murdered by his company. So okay. So when he sees other female lead, Kimmy's son, he like freaks out and he's like still in love with her, even though he's like, well, it's not really her. It's just someone from the past. But someone from the past does not mean it's a random person who is not related to her. It just means that her past self is not connected to her future self, right? It's still her. He's still in love with her. Anyway, however, now, because even though this lady is a scientist who is helping main guy with time travel stuff, she does not understand or he has not explained to her that she is his mother. Whether it's in the future she'll be his mother or in a parallel universe she is his mother. But either way, she's his mom. So now she's like into him. She thinks he's into her because he's super nice to her and he's always trying to save her because she's his mom. And therefore, now she's into him. And I'm like, this is, I want to barf. What is happening right now? And they just like randomly, like it was so unnecessary. They didn't have to do this at all. I don't know why they're doing it. It's very upsetting. And I needed to stop. So, yeah. And
Isn't
so
that
what?
what happens in Life on Mars or something? Like he goes back in time, he helps his mom. Oh, this guy is super helpful and so nice to me
That
or
happens in Back
something
to the Future. He's trying to get his
like
parents
that.
together, and yeah,
Life
and his
on
mom is
Mars, I
trying.
remember, was something like that.
It's he goes to see his mom in Life on Mars, right?
He
And there's
does
like a little storyline.
in the K-drama version. There's nothing romantic between him and his mom. It's
It's not
literally just.
romantic in the British one either. I
Oh,
think
oh, I
he
think
just
so.
goes to
I
help her.
watched the Spanish one. There was a Spanish version of Life on Mars,
Okay, that's funny.
La Chica de Ayer. It was there are definitely like vibes
Oh,
for
well,
here.
that's kind of weird.
Judging you for that, Spain.
Thanks for
that is
that,
pretty
Spain.
funny. Yeah, right? Well, Spain would do that. They wouldn't. Anyway. But
So
Korea
I
should
got
not be
confused for a
doing
moment. I
that.
was like, was it Life on Mars?
Yeah.
Or
I
La
don't
Chica
understand
de
why
Ayer?
Korea or a K-drama would do that. I'm very confused. Because they're definitely
Yeah.
playing into the tropes. Like, they'll be like, he helps her like get some freaking toilet paper, and then he's like leaning over her and she's like, you know, and I'm like, stop that! That is your child! And it's super stupid. It's super dumb because he has a best friend who's been in love with him since they were in school, right? And that's like super cute. And I'm totally shipped that. But then now it's like she's literally jealous of his mom, even though she knows, like, she can, I mean, of course, she doesn't know about time travel, so she doesn't realize that's his mom. But, like, she really thinks he is into this woman who looks exactly like his mom. And she's not like, you have problems and need therapy. She's like, I will fight this woman for your love. And I'm like, why are we acting like this is okay? Why is no one saying this is really weird? Please stop. And it's funny because, like, everyone was super into it at first, right? Super, super on board. And then now all the comments are like, they can't be doing that, right? They better not be doing that. I will have to drop it if they do that. And then the other comments of people who would like it are like, I wish that people would just stop focusing on it and just look at the rest of the story. And I was like, you can't look at the rest of the story because they paused the rest of the story to give you weird shippy moments with his mom for two episodes.
That is weird. But what are the people who like it?
People are weird. Yeah. Some people are like, it's not really his mom, okay? It's a different universe.
It is, like,
though. It's still his mom. Like, they're like, if it was played by a different actress, you wouldn't think this way. And I was like, yeah, because it was played by a different actress, it would be a different character. They clearly purposely made it the same character. So anyway, so that's my rant on Alice. I'm so sad because it started off so promising, and I really like Kim Hee Sun and what's his name, Kwak Shiang, who was Cordon from Oh My Ghostess, is the thing I still remember him from the best.
Yes,
he is baby daddy, and he is so sexy. And I'm like, why would you ever choose your literal child over
maybe they'll pull through. Maybe they'll do it. I think it's in my queue because he told me to put it in my queue.
Yeah, I started out so good. So for now, pause. Don't watch it yet. Let's wait. Let's hold off and see if they avoid the incest. I really hope that they're just ramping it up for her to find the photo. Because so far, she only knows that he reminds her of his mom. She doesn't actually know she literally looked like she's literally his mom, right? So they've had a couple shots where, like, there's a photo of them in the background somewhere and she doesn't look at it, and they focus on the fact that she's not looking at it. So I'm hoping that she'll see a photo and then be like, oh, that's disgusting, and then barf, and then that'll be the end of that. So anyway, that one's no bueno right now, but very bueno is Record of Youth. It's going very well for me so far. That's four episodes with Park Bo-gum and Park Sadam. They're super.
It's only four episodes.
Well, so far, it's only been four episodes.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to be like.
No. It's 16. It's only been four episodes so far. But so far, it's like a very, like, the romance is super laid back, chill, friends to lovers type situation. It's a little bit awkward because she's his fan, but he's not very famous. Like, I'm like, how are you even his fan? He hasn't done anything.
Oh, so is it kind of like in Search WWW?
Yes, it's like that. It's like a much more chill version of that, because that was very high jinx comedy. And this is just like, she just happened, like, she's a makeup artist, or she's a wannabe makeup artist, right? An aspiring makeup artist. And he is a struggling actor who has not had his breakthrough yet. And so she is his fan, and then they meet. She lies to him that she's his best friend's fan. His best friend is actually still, like, on the rise, not, like, super famous, but much more famous than he is. But, you know, like, he figures out that she's actually his fan very, very quickly. So it's not really, like, a lies. And then they're just, like, sort of, like, getting to know each other and, like, you know, relating that they come from, like, similar backgrounds and that they have, like, you know, similar struggles in their dreams in a similar industry. So I'm like, yeah, that's cool. The only thing that's, like, a little, like, ugh, is, like, his family is, like, super annoying. But some, like, his grandfather is great. His grandfather is also, like, wanted to be an actor when he was young and then, like, has just not been successful, like, in anything, apparently. And so it's kind of, like, a sad storyline of, like, oh, I didn't, you know, make it anywhere. So, like, his family is worried that he's not going to make it anywhere, just like his grandfather or whatever, you know? So it's good. It's chill. There's going to be, obviously, like, a love triangle or something with the best friend, because he's obviously gonna like Park Sadam, because who wouldn't? So we'll see about that. And also, of course, they already have the rivalry of, you know, a career. And the thing is, like, Park Bo-gum is poor, and his mother literally works like is like the maid at his best friend's house. Mm. So like best friend is rich and best friend's mother is the one who's like jumped out of his career and like makes all the phone calls and like makes people hire him basically. And he doesn't know that. Like obviously he knows she's like very pushy and like stage mommy, but he doesn't realize that like half his career is due to his mom. So I'm sure when he finds out, that'll be an issue. And then when someone finally sees Park Bo-gum's true worth, thanks to his new manager, who is no longer cheating him out of all his money, like his old manager, because they definitely do like drive like the entertainment companies are like evil. It's like a big plot point. And they even did like a sponsorship storyline, which on the one hand, I was like, yes, please expose this. But on the other hand, I was like, oh, it's kind of weird because this character is clearly gay, but he's also a sponsor. You know, he's also preying on Park Bo-gum, but that is literally what happens. So am I mad or am I like, you know what I mean? But like, at least
it'd be one of those cases where it would be maybe okay if they had better representation, exactly, then we wouldn't think anything of it.
Exactly. If there was already better representation, then it'd be fine. But at least Park Bo-gum was like super like, he was also super chill about it. Like he wasn't like, ew, you're gay. He was like, I'm sorry, sir. I cannot do that. I really respect you, but I will not be doing that. And the dude was like, well, you know, that's why you're not getting it anywhere in life. And I was like, so anyway. Okay. But yeah. But otherwise, aside from that, it's really good. I really love the chemistry between them, too. It's just very chill. Like, I really liked Encounter. And that was super chill, except for, like, family, you know, problems in the background. So this is, like, Encounter, but, like, right now there's literally no reason why they, like, there's no barriers to them being together. They're just chill and, like, clearly like each other, and maybe that's something will happen, you know? And the problems are really just, like, them parallel trying to rise up in their careers. So I like that. Also super chill is Do You Like Proms with Kim Min-jae and Park Eun-bin. And that's the same in terms of the friendship and the, like, he's a really famous pianist, but he's, like, you know, now there's someone even better than him. And if you're number two, then you're nothing, right?
Yep.
In terms of everyone else's eyes. Whereas he's, like, he's tired of the competition anyway. He, like, doesn't have any joy in pianing and playing the piano anymore.
Pianisting? I don't know.
She's an aspiring violinist, but she's not very good at it, so she's worked really, really hard to get into like the school that she's at to violin, but she's like last chair or whatever, so everyone's always like, you suck, you should give up, whatever, you know. And so it's just kind of like, what do you do when you don't love what you're good at, and then what do you do when you're not good at what you love? And I was like, oh, that's it's deep. The only problem with that one is the, like, 300 love triangles. They're so, it's just, like, it's a love dodecahedron. Like, they're clearly moving towards something, but then he has a childhood friend that he was in love with who almost married his other best friend, so that's one love triangle. And then she has some friend who was dating her other friend, and, you know, that's all another love triangle. And I was like, can everyone else go away? Because we don't need them. I don't know what's going on, but they don't need to be here. So, yes. And that's
all. They're all in my queue when I feel emotionally ready to ever watch anything again and not just read fluff fic for literally all my free time.
Well, that's fun.
It was, like, intense. But, yeah, I don't know. I let them talk me into Untamed, and I watched it, and it's a lot. Yeah. I mean, it's really, it's interesting to see. It reminds you of period drama. Well, it is period drama, obviously. But, like, I think it's that intense because they're doing everything else. Because they can't do the main thing. Although I also learned that they're not just censored for their romance. They're censored. They can't show ghosts either. Like, apparently Guardian got, like, actually banned a couple times and funding cut for ghosts.
Oh, wow.
Over ghosts. It wasn't over the romance with the dudes. They got one strike for, like, two characters telling the main character. But most of their strikes were over ghosts. And so Untamed actually has the same problems. I was like, why do you keep adapting these stories that you... like, I understand wanting to tell, you know, LGBT stories when you can't. But, like, ghosts don't need representation. Why do you keep choosing the ghost stories to tell if that's also going to get you in trouble? Like... but it was just, I don't know, I was in the mood for like pining and slow burn, and I got that. And I haven't. I was actually gonna watch Julie and the Phantoms. I was thinking about it, but right now I'm just not really watching anything because I'm trying to make my child actually sleep at night, and she's been doing that lately. So we're not like we're like screens are off. We're just gonna do things. But it's good. I recommend it. It's long.
Yeah.
Long. I like you had talked to me like 10 days ago. I would have been like, I'm not gonna do that. And here I am. I don't know.
Amazing.
I
I Untamed is obviously enjoyable and everyone's like super into it, super super into it. I just can't, you know. I'm like, there were two women and they both died halfway
Oh
through.
God. No. Oh my God. Tell me about Song of Achilles. Everybody loves the Song of Achilles book, and I
Yeah.
read it and I was like all but one of the women are raped with levels of detail that is unnecessary
Oh
in
my
this book.
God.
And the one woman who isn't is like weird. She's like weird. She's like mad. Like she thought Achilles would marry her, and then Patroclus showed up. Like Achilles was like exiled, and Patroclus found him. And so she was mad because she thought she would get to marry Achilles. So she's like, gets Patroclus to sleep with her instead. I'm just like, what? Like, and then you never hear from her again. I was so that she can have like, she has Achilles' baby somehow, but then she also like,
Patroclus?
no, I think Achilles was sleeping with her a little bit. Like,
Okay.
I don't like. I'm just like, why? I was like, just don't have female characters. Just don't have them. Like, if you're gonna do this, just don't have
That's
them.
true.
Like, I would rather you not. I mean, we shouldn't have to choose. You should be able to do both. But if you're incapable of doing both, then don't put them in at all.
Right. Oh,
But
Lord.
everyone loves that book, and I don't understand. So I actually totally understand that, and I am real mad about it. I'm real mad. Like, I was like, there's no, you fridged every single one of these. There's no reason for all of this. You had plenty of drama and angst anyway. You didn't
Right.
need to do it. Like, and don't think I don't notice. Like, when you, like, so.
Good
I think it's
point.
just because I binged it and skipped the parts that made me unhappy. Like, full on. Like, I don't care about the storyline. I'm going to skip three episodes. So. But I appreciate. I did see. So one of my friends who watched it, who talked me into it, she watched it on the WE TV app,
Oh,
and so
yeah.
she was telling me there is a scene midway through where they literally blur the one actor's nose because he gets too close to the other
That is so funny.
was like, she said that to me, and I was like, "What?" And I went back and like looked, and it doesn't do that on Netflix.
Right, right, yeah.
So I was supposed to laugh at it because it's kind of sad because I mean, they didn't do that for and they did it because they had. So, you know, that's that.
It is unfortunate.
Well, this, to me, the fact that they actually went back and removed the blurring or any other things or made translations a little bit clearer or starker
Right.
on Netflix or on Viki, it's on Viki as well, shows the intent on the point of the production staff.
Yeah, for
Basically,
sure.
like, no, they're out here to tell this story and they're just literally doing as much as they can possibly get away with. And I appreciate that. But I just want to know why they keep making ghost stories. Apparently ghosts. I was like, K-dramas blur knives. I swear there was one time there was a knife that was blurred and it was they were cooking with it. I was like, is this isn't even a violence knife? Why is this knife blurred? Only the big three do it. Like only the network. Like NBC, See, oh, I've been cheating on K-drama so much, I'm blanking on SBS, NBC, and the other one. They blur violence knives
Yes, I
a
think
lot of
any of
the time.
the any of the broadcast ones were
Yes. And
violence
cigarettes.
knives. Yeah. But they
Seriously
don't blur
banned.
like guns. I'm so like,
No,
what?
guns aren't banned,
Yeah.
Blair.
And
Violence.
once you've been stabbed and you're bleeding, they don't blur that
Cigarettes are blurred.
either. So I'm like,
Even when, so I watched The Lover, which was JTBC, so that's like cable. And Lover is like, by K-drama standards, like the whole point of it is that it's a racier drama.
happening? Right.
They were still blurring the cigarettes. That's
This doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. That's okay.
fine. No. But, so fun times of censorship, we all.
Yeah.
Oh.
We all enjoy that.
And it all, you know, whatever weird reasons everyone has or not. But, did you want to talk about the other drama that you watched, Camille, or do you not? Like, if you want to get out into the world, tell people, then you.
Do we have time?
But if
no,
yeah, talk about one more drama and then be done.
Yeah, it's quick. It's a BL. It's a mm-hmm. Filipino BL, but it isn't a quarantine story. Although it was released earlier this year, but obviously they had time to put it together. So it's by it's called Sacristan. I was interested because it had like a sacristan is someone who helps with the priest during mass, like one of the altar boy. Well, like higher than an altar boy, basically. So I was like, how are they going to do this with religious undertones? How are they going to balance that out? It was interesting, and it was fine. It's an 8-episode thing, pretty short. It's a small production company, but surprisingly, the like cinematography and some of the scenes are pretty well produced. So like, don't expect, it's really not on the level of like Game Boys or Hello Stranger. Those are bigger companies. So sometimes you feel, and a lot of the actors, or if not all of them, are like amateurs. So these aren't professional actors. So like the first two or three episodes, I was a bit frustrated with the two leads because I'm like, gotta workshop a bit more, maybe. But like, they get better. So I'm like, because the script was really good. I was like, but you get distracted by, can't act. They can't act. But they get better. So there's that. And the supporting cast is pretty good. Because I looked at the writer, because he actually wrote a lot of like these short films that are like rants from our daily lives, like a rant of a student, of a high school student who's really stressed out, a rant of an overworked minimum wage worker. So like, he writes a lot of relatable stuff. So I figured that's why the script was pretty strong. But it's okay. So it's set in a college campus. The two leads, one is a sacristan, so like this really religious guy who's probably a priest in training. He's going to be a priest at one point, and he has to tutor this jock, super athlete guy who's not doing well in his classes. And part of his like community service is to help clean up the church and stuff like that. So they spend a lot of time together, and feelings develop basically. But it's more mature than it's not really fluffy in the end. It's quite mature. There are no explicit sex scenes because I don't think anyone is ready for that yet. But it's alluded to. They go quite far in the relationship, and then it doesn't quite end well. So it's like there's a lot of heavy drama in it. It makes Game Boys pretty chill actually. At one point, I'm surprised they were able to get everything in 8 episodes. But what was more interesting to me is, so like they get together quite quickly, and then things go downhill quickly too. But what was interesting is how they dealt with the breakup and how they resolved that, because it's more complex than it seems. And there's like, my favorite character there is the best friend, the female best friend. Isn't there always like a female friend in BL series, or is it just me? So
like there is.
Filipino ones are better, some of the Thai ones are not that good at it.
So there's this best friend of like the sacristan, the guy who's training to be a priest. She's hilarious, and she's like the best actor in the whole thing. And so they have a scene together like towards the end where she really calls him out on all the stuff that went wrong. She was like, "You got into a relationship too soon," but she teaches him how to go through it. She's the best. She's the one I remember most. But then there's a lot of family drama that's quite heavy and complex, more complex than I expected it to be. So in the end, like, the ending is bittersweet. I like it. They wrapped everything up and it was bittersweet. So it's a bit heavy, and I like I said, they all improved in acting like halfway through, so it was easier to watch.
Thank goodness.
And I just, yeah, otherwise I said I don't think the first two episodes I was like, can I stick with this? But then the story got better and they got better. So, and a lot of, like, the first few episodes also really capture, at least for me, really capture high school or university culture in the Philippines, like how ridiculous it is. And I read the comments and people are like, is this really what you guys do in school? And I'm like, sadly it is. Because like, the second episode is that they had like this jingle writing competition for Nutrition Month, and they they used Lady Gaga songs to write a song about breastfeeding, and it was ridiculous. And they were both ridiculously competitive about it. And I said, okay, if I wasn't Filipino and I was watching this, this would seem really weird. But I can't, but I live through this, so I can pretty much say that this is what it's like in university. It's really that weird. So yeah, but
we have you as a witness.
Yeah. But there's a lot of like LGBT issues that they tackle with surprising sensitivity and depth that I didn't expect from like a series like this. And plus even the whole religion, like they did that in a really sensitive and balanced way. So there was no demonizing their relationship because, you know, it's not in the Bible or whatever. There wasn't a lot of that. It wasn't very preachy, surprisingly, for a show that's based on someone working in the church. So, and I think they kind of portrayed what Christianity is supposed to be. Like, Jesus is accepting of, like, at one point, the guy quits the church so that he could be with his boyfriend and whatever. And then the priest doesn't even, like, berate him about it and says, you know, just do what feels right for you or whatever. I'm like, that's refreshing. No, like, it wasn't demonized. So yeah, I think it's worth a look. Sacristan. It's on YouTube, so. And there are subtitles. Some of the subtitles are not so greatly translated, I have to say, but they're good enough. They're good enough.
They're passable.
They're passable. Because it's not a big company, so I think like they didn't have the clout of Game Boys and Hello Stranger. But yeah, but it's not too fluffy, Angela, so I have to say. It's bittersweet.
I mean, but you made it sound good, though. Like,
I liked it.
Yeah.
Just accept the first few episodes, they're not good at acting at the start. But they get better.
It's okay.
Just suck it up. But the writing is really strong, surprisingly. And it's more mature than I expected it to be. And it's more mature than I expected any, like, BL series. I didn't think they would go there, but they went there. Like, there's a lot of, like, weird sexual innuendo. But I said, I didn't think that our society was that liberal for this kind of talk, but apparently it is. Good for us. We're evolving.
Yeah, it's a good barometer of how things are changing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so there. I recommend it. It's pretty cool. I haven't checked out. There are a couple of others that I still haven't gotten down to watching, mostly because one isn't two of them aren't finished yet. So like I think I should just wait till they're finished. I don't really want to wait every week. And it looks like they have really long episodes. Because I like the length of the episodes of Game Boys and Hello Stranger and stuff. Like, it's less than half an hour. Or, like, sometimes it's 10 minutes. And these ones are, like, part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4 for one episode at 10 minutes each. So, like, 40 minutes. It's like a whole show.
That's what the Thai ones are. But then they're usually longer. Like,
oh, really?
Shows as well, yeah.
So, I don't know.
The Thai ones are usually like, yeah, in four parts, and they're 12 to 13 episodes are what most of the Thai ones are, yeah. So that might have been why they were emulating that format.
Yeah. But these are even smaller production companies, so I don't even know. Anyway, I'll check them out one of these days, and I'll let you know if they're any good. Cool. So far, I only have Sacristan.
But good to know. Thank you. And with that, we will be closing out this Asian Drama Corner podcast. Thank you for listening. You can check us out at withanaccent.com, or at withanaccent on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook if you like to feed our capitalist overlords. All right. Actually, Instagram is also by Facebook. It's fine. It's all the same. Bye.
Bye. Goodbye.